Bangin' bears, bangin' bears, time to bang some bears. Bangin' bears, bangin' bears, time to bang some bears. If you got some beers to bring, you know we're always down to hang. One or two or three more, come see what we've got in store. A beer for you and a beer for me, one and one, and that makes three. So if you think you're down to hang, come and join the banging gang. Banging beers, time to bang some beers. Banging beers, time to bang some beers.
3, 2, 1. I hope this works. Hey guys, we're hanging here for a second just to see how this sounds on Facebook. Give me 1 second. Trying to figure things out on the fly. Trinity sometimes check. This happens. Yeah, we're good. We're good.
All right.
Alrighty. Yeah. All right. Perfect. So, Oktoberfest Part 2.
Part 2.
We have three Oktoberfest beers we're going to do today, and then I think 3 non-Oktoberfest beers we're going to do.
Yes.
If you guys like the episode, this content, please hit that share button. Let people know we exist. As well as check the links below to buy some merchandise. I have this, like, the first time actually openly saying it out loud. I think what we're going to start doing is, you know how we have, like, all these different variant logos?
Mm-hmm.
I think what I'm going to do is maybe take some of the logos off the merch page and say, like, this logo is going to only be available for, like, a month. Oh. And then this one. But I also hate when companies do that and make things, like, exclusive or never get again type things. So I don't know how I'm going to do it yet. I'm just trying to
think of clever ways
to...
Like a, hey, like, I want this logo and have, like if there's, like, 5 people that do it. More than 5 people want the logo again, you think about bringing it back.
Yeah, but I there's nothing more that I can't stand is when a company just, like, takes away something because they only did it for, like, a couple weeks. That really bothers me.
Limited edition.
Yeah, like, limited run stuff.
It would fit into the theme of the... Especially for banging beers, it would fit into the theme because you've got seasonal beers. You can have seasonal logos.
Yeah. We'll see how it works. I don't know. Just trying to think of clever ways to possibly bump merch sales a little bit. All right. So our first one, Ben.
Noctoberfest is a Rusty Rail Brewing Company rye beer clocking at a 5.3% alcohol by volume. Rusty Rail is a microbrewery in Mifflinburg. A wonderful break from the traditional fall seasonals. Noctober is a sessionable ale with subtle sweet and roasty malt flavors, rye spiciness, and a pleasant citrus finish. We picked it because Oktoberfest, it's Noctoberfest.
I had this at the Rest in Peace, the Greystone. This was on tap the one year there. And I loved it. I thought it was a really good beer. It was. I looked at my score here and... It's right where I thought it would be, but this is something I was really into at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I love the color. I like the amber beers.
I did this one August 23rd, 2017, mm-hmm. So it was a little bit of a summer beer for me.
I'm surprised I haven't had this already.
I've had it once before.
I don't know. Does this one to me kind of taste like a mixture between like your Oktoberfest, but also like a...
It's a little bit citrusy at the very end of it.
The blood orange really does stick out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I can smell it, and, like, the rye has that little bit of, like, spiciness to it versus, like, the normal barley stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I like a really good rye ale.
I think with revisiting this one again, it kind of gives me a little bit of a perspective of, like, what to taste, especially with what we're looking for at this point in time.
Yeah.
This is actually pretty decent. I like it.
I enjoy it. I also like Rusty Rail. I think they make great beers.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Real quick before we get into our reviews here, I want to give you guys a quick thank you. Once again, for the people who come here all the time and share it and come talk to us. First off, the Yingling episode did very, very well.
I missed that.
Yeah, very, very well. And not only did it do very well, our audience is growing.
Right? How was the premium?
Was good.
Premium's really good. The premium always gets a bad rap in the circles in the circle I hang with.
Yeah.
Not that I hang with a bunch of people, but in the small circle of friends I hang with, premium gets a bad rap.
I'll tell you what.
Don't give them the satisfaction. Try the premium. It is actually decent.
All right.
Here's what that Yingling episode did for me. So obviously, just going out and trying so many beers all over the place and drinking so many IPAs and so many of this, and like kind of having that need for like the lagers and the pilsners and stuff like that, and then kind of revisiting a beer company that's in your own backyard, but I always go to like the go-to one or twos.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, and then going back and trying some of those again, and like I'm like, man, I liked every single one of them, and I know like people are like, oh, you're just, you know, kissing ass, but no, I legit enjoyed every one of those beers. Like, there's not a Yingling lineup beer that I would be like, I'm not into it.
Yeah, like I think the general consensus on like the premium and everything was like, I will take this any day over a Budweiser, MGD, whatever that full price, like Coors Banquet, whatever.
Yeah.
That was close.
Yeah.
So, like, it's good. I mean, it's like, yes, yeah, your cheaper beer, but it's not like I would take it over any of those any day of the week.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to have to try it now. I mean, it's been years since I've had a Yingling Premium simply because of, you know, the people I hang with just don't drink it, and they give it a bad rap, and I'm like, well.
Almost like everyone always gets the lager. I mean, it's
Like
plus you forget about it sometimes, and especially like you don't find it out of the area really.
I probably would just get the premium in cans because I like the cans better.
Yeah. And then we came across, you know, we're like, what is a flight like the light version of the flight of? Because like the lager has a light, the premium has a light. And then we had the way we did it in the episode. It wasn't even on purpose. We did the golden, and then we did the flight next. So we're like, oh. The flight kind of tastes like the lighter version of the golden.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, to us anyway. Yeah. I mean, but also it could have been because we just had the golden.
Yeah, yeah, might have been.
But
yeah.
Also, like, it makes sense. Like the grain. I would like to see the grain bills of them and see what the comparison is.
Yeah. But the episode did really well. So, and this is just not just for Banging Beers, but across the network. Our audio listens are higher than they've ever been. So cool. People are listening to the audio only episodes. YouTube is starting to get a big hit again. For a long time there, YouTube, like we put an episode up and like 300, 400 people would watch it on Facebook, and then like YouTube would get like 3 people. But I think we're starting to slowly show people on YouTube, because for a while there, YouTube was the only place you can watch it.
Yeah.
And then once we put it on Facebook, there was a while there where we only did audio only, and we would just put the audio only on YouTube, and then people kind of just got away from it. And now everything's starting to build back up again, which is cool. Like so I want to thank you guys for sharing it, letting people know, and the word of mouth is huge, because we're not paying Google ads, and we're not paying Facebook to promote us. You know, we walked that route before, and I felt like it wasn't legit. So, I mean, a lot of this show growth is, I mean, I'm going on pages and promoting it as well, but I mean, you guys are doing a great job as a fan base and as an extended members of our family of sharing this and letting people know this exists. And we truly, truly appreciate it.
Cool. It'll be interesting to see what we do, how we stack up against the NFL football as far as live goes.
Oh yeah, today it would be tough.
Yeah. Is what it is.
You know, I mean, the only difference is like most of Philadelphia fans, I think, and Washington fans are kind of packed in already for the year.
Yeah.
We'll see. We do.
I mean, the plus side though is like live. I mean, they can still go back and watch the episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So what do you think, Ben, of this?
I really appreciate this beer a lot more than I did in 2017. Again, like what Andy was saying about the notes, I really taste the notes a lot better because I'm being more self-aware of what to taste for. And I'm really enjoying this one. It's definitely one of those beers that you want to have if you're sick of the Oktoberfest, or if you are like, hey, I just want something just a little bit different. This is a little bit right up your alley.
Mm-hmm.
I think I still keep it as a solid 3.5 non-Oktoberfest beer. So that would be where I stand with that.
Okay.
I agree with everything you guys said. I rated it a 3.5 last time. I didn't see when the last time I had it, but I kept it at a 3.5 this time. Full bodied, nice color. The taste is just right up there with other.
He's gonna pull that one up.
Oh, we're going to rotation.
Yeah, we're gonna
do that again.
Oh,
all
right. Yeah. So what we're doing now is we just go around the table and everyone gets a chance to read a beer off.
I get to read. Oh, this is the one I got. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Warhorse.
Yep.
Cool.
Cannot guarantee, but I can guarantee I'm going there next Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to stop in.
Give me some Hazen Hero.
Hmm.
Mom's supposed to come up.
Okay. Yeah, Hazel and Harrow, and see if you can get like a mixed pack of some stuff.
Well, they don't do mixed packs, so you have to do four packs.
There's some places up there that mix them up for you, right?
I'm going right to the brewery.
Yeah. I'll tell them your comment and be like, hey, cool. Make a mixed six.
All right. Warhorse Brewing Company.
We're not done in October, Bobs.
Yeah. Horses Stole My Beer, an orange cream milkshake.
Well, before you.
IPA.
Before you get there, what did you think of Oktoberfest?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I really like it. Get it
queued up.
It's a little different. It's not an Oktoberfest, obviously, but I like a good rye ale. I think it's under represented because it's not a sexy IPA.
Mm-hmm.
So a good rye ale, good red ale is always usually a good staple. The citrus from the blood orange, I think, and the rye, like the little spice to the rye, really kind of complements each other.
Mm-hmm.
And but the citrus isn't overpowering. So
it has that nice malt back end too.
Yeah, I could do a case of this.
Yeah. Rye ales get a raw deal.
They do.
I think we have two ales.
A rye deal.
Yeah, rye deal.
I think we have two ales. So I agree with everything you guys say. I gave this a 3.75 as well.
3.5 is what I scored. Yeah.
All right. So this is some Warhorse.
3.5 Brothers. Right. Hey.
Warhorse Brewing Company out of Geneva, New York. We are doing the Horses Stole My Beer. Here we are, folks, ready to dive into a grown-up version of an ever-popular orange cream shake. Brewed with no less than 84 pounds of tangerines and 66 pounds of hops. Truly a harmony of ingredients that captivate and amaze. These, along with the hazing, including malts and mysterious unfermented lactose, come together in a blazing kaleidoscope of flavor, bursting with delight from Born on Date to Pop Tab, liquid music with rainbow hues, a dessert dream made real.
Yeah. I like that. I like that.
I'm a huge fan of this brewery.
It is my favorite brewery in New York.
I like that.
I've yet to find something I don't like from them.
And it's Julius.
And their wine is pretty good. Three Brothers Wine is located right there. The wine is pretty decent, and their food is good.
So I'm normally not. I'll start with this one. I'm normally not a orange flavor. Like I love eating oranges, but usually when it's orange flavored, like creamsicles and stuff, I'm not a huge. Like I appreciate it, but it's not my go-to.
Yep.
I thought the Bolero Snort.
I know you were gonna get that.
Creamsicle was one of my favorite orange creamsicle beers I've ever had, because it was very orange, but I knew I was still drinking a beer.
Yep.
This is in the same ballpark. This is a very tasty orange creamsicle, but you know you're still drinking a beer.
There's just enough hop taste to it to let you know it's not a smoothie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually really like this one. I usually don't like anything with milk sugar in it. Like, it's usually just, I feel like it makes most of the beers taste the same.
Yeah. This one really...
This tastes like an orange Julius.
The tangerine yeah. really screams in this one big time. Where you have Bolero Snorts, the orange creamsicle is more like the artificial flavor. It was like gimmicky, and that was what they were shooting for. This is more of like a natural, more of a natural orange. It really, you really get that tangerine. Yeah, I like that bite of the tangerine into this. Yeah,
that vanilla is really good too.
Yep,
it's nice. It's balanced too. Like there's nothing that overpowers it. Kind of the like orange cream like just kind of sits really nice together.
The smell is really you can really smell like the orange, like citrus out of that. And then everything else, it falls in suit. Like you taste more of that tangerine in it. The vanilla smooths it out, and it just smooths out like regular beer then on top of it.
If this is a beer you want and you would like to try and you're listening to the show, let him know before you go Saturday. You could PayPal him the money. He'll bring it home for you.
there you go.
This also may or may not be. I cannot confirm or deny. Maybe at the courthouse in Frackville as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Should leave it at that.
All right.
All right. Who didn't score this yet?
I don't think we scored at all.
Like I said, not a huge orange fan, but I do really enjoy this beer. I'll stick with a 3.75 here as well with this one.
I'll agree on that. 3.75, it's super solid. Like, as for a milkshake, I actually like, you know, I feel like the lactose is a fine line in a lot of different beers that will either make or break it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not overtly sweet. I mean, it's probably too sweet for me to, like, drink like six in a sitting, but I could definitely have at least one or two.
You know what I would probably do with this beer?
I think this is breakfast.
Yeah. You know what I would probably do with this beer? Just, and I like I said, I'm not a brewer, so maybe what I'm saying is completely off base here. But instead of doing the vanilla and the lactose, I would replace it with marshmallow to give use the fluff to give it that vanilla and that creamy taste.
Yeah, you could. If they do a variation of that, that'd be pretty wild.
740 check-ins so far with an average of 3.8 on the scoring scale at Untappd.
So we learned something about Bob in our Yuengling episode, too, is that Bob is he has not confirmed or denied, but he feels he is the most he has the most Yuengling lager check-ins in the world.
And that's his goal, too. Ooh.
That's his goal. He wants to be the most checked-in person who checks in Yuengling lagers. And I was like, you know what, man? Like, that's something I never even thought
of. Beer.
Well, here's the thing. How many times have you had the same beer multiple times, but you're like on Untappd, you're just like,
I'm not checking.
I had it before. And then I'm thinking to myself, like, now I want to kind of find my beer. and just check in it like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're probably way behind the curve already.
I keep thinking about it, and I'm like,
unless you come up with a new beer that's going to be a staple, perhaps the Flight.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can drink that much Flight.
I'm gonna go hard in the paint on Chetties.
Yeah,
I'm gonna check them in every time. I'm gonna check them in every
six pack. Clear out six packs.
Yeah,
I'm gonna Black and Tan.
I'll catch you up to do.
I'll tell you what.
Last week reminded me how much I love the Black and Tan. I'm like, oh, it's such a good beer.
It is. It's my favorite beer.
I've never really had the Porter by itself.
Oh, the Porter is fantastic
too. Porter's really good.
And then when I had it, I was like, this is already a very chocolatey beer.
Yeah.
And now you had the Hershey chocolate too. It's like, this is a banger.
Porter on draft is awesome.
I used to go to the cake stand and you can break down the case. So I used to buy a 12 pack of the Black and Tan and the 12 pack of the Porter.
Yeah.
I just might do that today before I go
home.
There
you go.
Yeah.
And see if they have any Hershey's chocolate Porter left.
Yeah.
Oh, that's still broadly available.
Is it?
Yeah.
I would definitely say for the Horses Stole My Beer. This is a good 3.75. This is a solid 3.75 overall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has all the citrus. Like, the citrus notes are well represented. The balance is there, too. If you think, like, hey, I'm going to really taste oranges or I'm going to taste vanilla. Not necessarily. You're just having a good overall. Like, you're getting the little nip. Great introductory milkshake as well, too. So,
yeah.
Definitely nothing wrong with that at all. 3.75 for me. You taste the citrus. You taste the vanilla. Citrus up front. It's a very pleasant milkshake IPA.
Yeah. I scored at 3.75 when I first had it. It has not changed for me. It's still a good 3.75. It's just your everyday awesome beer.
Yeah. While we're pouring this next one, you're taking a photo. I almost took it away from you. We changed the group pages on Facebook. I don't know if you guys noticed, but now, like, so before when I was trying to tag like Bangin' Beers or Tornado Tag or Not Cool in High School, the group page and the Facebook like page were the same name. So a lot of people were, I think, maybe getting confused. I mean, it was possibly confusing me, too, because I was putting it to the wrong thing. So our group pages are now the community pages. So as I say, Banging Beers Podcast Community Page. So you guys can just differentiate the two. Amazing job to everyone who's putting their beer reviews out there. Huge thank you to everyone doing that. Huge thank you to Billy?
Yeah, Billy Gober.
Billy for
the Craft House.
For putting all the Craft House stuff up there now. Brett helps me. Like, I'm trying to go to the cake stand for Brett more to kind of get more of his inventory. I went to the courthouse. I got their inventory. I put it on the page. So if you're out somewhere and you're at a distribution center or a distribution place or a mix of six place or anything like that, and you're out picking up beer, think of us. You know, not just the us, but think of fellow people in our community who are looking for good beers. Review your beers. Tell people what's on there. Maybe something we haven't tried that we can try on the show. Millie's been posting other people who do beer stuff. So she's really in tap with like social media. So she'll find people's posts and share them. As well as if you're out picking up a six pack somewhere, be like, hey, here's where I'm at. Take a quick picture of their cooler and be like, this is what they have available here for beer.
I mean, the more people participate in the new community is like the more we can grow it. I mean, it's a great interactive tool for all you guys and all of us to kind of like, hey, what's out there? What should we cover? Like, what are your thoughts about
where can I go to get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, sometimes what happens, too, is you kind of take it for granted, or you think maybe a lot of places in Schuylkill County don't have good craft selection, and you drive by. Like, for me, I drove by that place in Schuylkill Haven 100 times between Cresona and Schuylkill Haven.
Mm-hmm. And then one day, County Beverage?
Yeah.
Oh, they're awesome.
Where the candles and stuff are. And I pulled
in
there.
Oh, no, that's Max Gut.
Yeah. Marcus Gut, yeah.
I pulled in there one day, and I was like, oh, they actually have a cool selection. Like, they do pretty well. And they have, like, a mix of six, and they have, like, cold and not cold. And I was like, I would have never known if I wouldn't have stopped in.
Yeah,
so,
County Beverage between on 183 right at the end of Haven, like, when you're coming down from Cresona.
Yeah.
They also have an awesome selection, too.
Cool. So, yeah, definitely, if you guys are, you know.
They're very IPA heavy.
What are your untapped usernames? I want to add you all. Also add beer, food, fun. So mine is Banging Beer. I think I'm just Anthony Blackwell Jr. on there. I could be wrong. Oh, no. Banging Beers Podcast Anthony is mine.
Mine is AJ Hair, H-A-I-R.
MCFD Tony.
Cold Wolf
35. I love
I know
that.
You're going to fucking laugh at that, too.
That's the best one ever.
Beer, what was that?
Beer, food, fun. So we're actually working on a collaboration with them very soon. So they go to places and review their food and take really cool pictures and stuff.
I have yet to be able to search for someone on Untappd and find them.
So you have to go when you go to their
you go to your profile.
Yeah, up in the right hand corner says add. Click add and then you can search for Facebook, them. YouTube and all our Facebook, Twitter and all
that. Yeah, you can pull it up by mine or like if you have your name as it too, you should be able to search that.
Yeah. So yeah, we really look forward
to
it.
Yeah, add us on Untappd.
Yeah,
see what we're drinking and see
what
you're
drinking.
And
it's the first one, beer, food, fun, right?
Yep. Yep.
Right,
we look forward to collaborating with you soon, Justin. Really, really do. I can't wait to maybe pick out a brewery once everything kind of calms down and goes to the normal, and then we can all sit down and do an episode together.
That'd be awesome.
Or if you ever want to come to the table, let us know. All right, so what do we got here?
So we have the Leaf Cattle Battle from Bolero Snort Brewery, which is in Carlstadt, New Jersey.
Once again, thank you to the beer for you guys. This is a beer they gave us for the episode for our Oktoberfest. There is another one in this lineup too. So I should have put this in last week's episode.
Who's this from?
Beer You Are.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the Beer You Are guys.
I should have known by Jersey.
Yeah,
those Jersey boys.
Yeah.
So this is another milkshake IPA. It's a 5.7% fall spiced milkshake IPA with Citra, Eldorado, and Amarillo, plus vanilla, cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, and clove. So this sounds like some people's boiler recipes. Mine is the vanilla.
Dude, no joke. This kind of tastes like multi-course from Hudson Valley, but no sour.
This...
It's
another milkshake
really
and
like
I like
this.
It.
It's a
I
spicy
really like it.
It's a spicy milkshake IPA.
I want a case of this for Thanksgiving.
I would say that is the closest thing. Like now Pizza Boy does a milkshake like a pumpkin spice one, but it's more pumpkin spice oriented. This is right like
this has
late
all
October,
those
early
fall
November.
Spice,
yeah, this is
like
wow.
Pumpkin apple pie type.
This is one of the few. Probably the second beer I've had that has clove in it that you really can't taste an overpowering
clove.
Yeah, because
clove can really overpower.
That's potent, yeah.
Me and my friends like to say if the boilo has too much clove, add more clove.
Yeah.
No.
That's so different.
There's an aftertaste to this. I don't know if it's the allspice that gives it that like the lingering
something's
aftertaste.
Melding with the hops. Definitely. Something's melding with the hops, and it really is working well because you get that hop, and then, like you're saying, with the spices, that's, wow. I like that.
This beer's an experience.
I like this.
It's something different.
A great dessert beer.
It's something different, and...
It's like a chai latte.
My brain hasn't figured out what it is, if it's good or bad. It's not bad. It's
I don't hate
different.
It, but it's like, do I really, really like it because how different it is, or do I... I actually really like this. I usually don't like these.
Yeah, I think I might need things. I might need to come back a second time to this to.
I'll put it this way, I know we pick on Jersey a lot here in this this podcast, but Man, but Yellow Snort makes some good fucking beers.
No, Jersey has some awesome breweries. Like,
yeah,
this is my first from this one, but like Kane and Magnify. And
Magnify's
amazing. Icarus. Oh, man.
Yeah. I still can't believe people shit on Magnify.
Magnify has some really
good
stuff.
I just can't get over that.
Well, we had a lot of Magnify that you got for the show.
Yeah, and they were...
And then the Beer You Are guys have been hooking us up with the Malero Snort, and it's so good. It's good. It's really good beer.
Yeah, like this, like I really like this. And this is another milkshake. Like the lactose doesn't kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just kind of creams it up and like levels it out.
Yeah. Now, like some people, the only reason why Bolero Snort gets a bad rap because apparently they had some issue with infected batches of beer. So they had to like redo everything. It had to like deep clean everything or replace stuff. It was kind of devastating.
Yeah, I mean,
for
breweries
them,
are trial and error sometimes, though. And like, as long as you're willing to correct whatever the issue is,
hey, I'd rather have them correct it and have a good beer versus not doing a damn thing about it. You know, it's. I mean,
or just be like, no, it's not my problem; it's your problem. I won't speak of the brewery.
But I will say this about Bolero Snort's Leaf Cattle Battle. Really put me back in that Hudson Valley multi-chorus because, I mean, like, it's very similar to that, and I really like the fact that it's not, like, overpowering. Again, another great balanced beer.
Yeah,
like, milkshake IPA. Definitely seek this one out, folks.
Fantastic fall beer. Like I said, I would love to have this, like, for, like, Thanksgiving.
This one is definitely a fun one, and if you like those fall spices and you're basic, well, there you go.
I'm gonna use an analogy here on the unique flavor of this beer. I experienced it, and you only experience it once a year during the fall. I was out for a bike ride yesterday, and we're going down the trail, and all of the leaves are, you know, the trail's covered in leaves, and they're slightly wet and stuff, and you have that the fall leaf smell.
Yeah,
is a unique smell that you only get in the fall. The unique flavor of this beer is similar to that smell.
Yeah, the can, just, the
just
can
to
definitely
use an analogy.
The can represents the beer very, very well.
Yeah, yeah. And I like the can art too.
And the
I keep seeing the Leaf Cattle Battle. I keep seeing cattle decapitation.
And the like this is a good like band. leaves are down, and you have a campfire going. You're sitting around a fire drinking this beer. Like this is
This is a fantastic fall beer. Like fall,
the spices on it are unique, and that's not a bad thing. I gave it a 3.25 only because I've never tasted anything like it before. It's probably a good 3.5. If I have a second time, I will probably upgrade it.
Yeah, I was torn between the 3.75, 3.5. I'm going to stick with a 3.5. Did you score yours, Ben?
Oh, I did. I definitely
did. You scored?
I gave it a 4.
4?
Yeah, I actually really dig this. Like, I don't love fall spice stuff. Like, I've always talked about, like, my pumpkin crap. I just few and far between. But this works.
Oh, get ready. We have pumpkin out the
No,
ass
I'm fine with
soon.
It. I like good pumpkin beers. I like. Some are just a little too much.
Yeah.
It's going to be the great pumpkin Charlie Brown for a whole month.
This is a great balance. Like I said, there's no overpowering with the lactose. There's, like, the spice is all...
It's a great pumpkin beer lineup, Anthony Blackwell.
Yeah.
So, just when you could not think that you could get another unique
Tony, you're
gonna flavor...
Tony, you're going to hate this one.
Well, so...
Just
I mean,
when you
well,
think you couldn't get a unique flavor. This is really not unique, but it's
I did not expect it to be... I didn't read the can, really. So, when I seen the
you just saw it because
coffee.
It was post-roast Malone.
Yeah, so this already... All right, so I'm going to say it. Because, all right, this is what happened last time we had this brewery.
Have you tried it?
Not yet.
Well, before you get into that...
But maybe we're wrong, because by smell, you're going to hate it.
I hate the smell, all right?
Before you get into that...
I got to backtrack 1 second. It's really not a unique taste.
It's coffee.
It's a roasty coffee.
Leaf Cattle Battle for me because it reminds me of, like... how they spiced it with the multi-course, it's really hitting on all levels. Now, that beer, I gave it a 5 right off the bat, how good it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving this one a 4.25.
4.25?
Because
I respect it.
That's a really nice beer. That's for the theme, like for what we're doing, it's perfect. Like, it hits all those notes. It hits that little bit. If they threw in a little bit of cardamom in it, like maybe like one little like nip of that would be okay, but point being though,
that might be the balance that oversets it though.
It might. Hey, it's all about experimentation, baby.
It offsets the balance.
All right, so
That's where I'm at.
So this is a brewery from good old Allentown, Pennsylvania. So once again introduced to us by the Beer You Are boys. This can was given to us by them as well. They know I'm a big Post Malone fan, but they also know I hate coffee, so that's it's a double-edged sword for me.
Well, there's like at least five other roast Malones out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the,
it smells
the,
like a coffee shop. The
thing with this one is McCall has been on our lineup now three times. Two times already, they have one beer of the night. Can they be a trifecta and do it? I'm already going to say right now, they already have my can art vote of the night. Just saying that right now. It's going to be very hard for me to pick this as beer of the night because it's a coffee-flavored beer. So this is going to completely lie on you guys when it comes to how much you enjoy it. But initial pour, this smell, I like the smell of coffee. I just like the taste of it.
It's a coffee house.
It smells like coffee. Like it smells like a really delicious coffee. But I just don't like the taste of coffee. And it's a great color. I thought 100%. I didn't realize this was an ale because I didn't read the can. It's an amber ale. So I'll give the description here.
You go for it.
A clear nod to everyone's favorite face tattooed rapper. This American amber ale is rich and loaded with notes of caramel and toffee, while getting a added kick of locally sourced backyard beans coffee during fermentation. This beer might not make you feel like a rock star, but it'll ensure you're not always tired. So. Post Malone has always tired tattooed under his eyeballs, like on his cheeks. So yeah,
and it's good.
And Post Malone loves Bud Light, and I think they pretty much, from what I heard, they made this can and pretty much like tagged Post Malone, like either you're cease and desist in this or you're gonna love it. You know what I mean? Like yeah.
I feel like he'd be cool.
It's good. It tastes really good.
There's a weird tartness to it, though.
There is a weird tartness to it.
I'm terrified to taste this. I'm not going to lie.
It's coffee.
The coffee is
it's
awesome.
Coffee all day. It's coffee all day. There's no question about it.
Shoot it.
It's not.
I don't think I can. I'll probably puke.
It's not really sweet. Pungent.
It's a roasty coffee.
No, the coffee's really very good.
Yeah.
It's very smooth because they did it a red ale. A red amber ale, which I'm kind of very surprised what style they actually picked on this.
Yeah. It's fun what some people do
it is unique.
Like coffee cream ales are like, I'm like, this shouldn't taste like it looks.
Cream ales, even blonde stouts too.
I've had coffee blonde ales too that were really good.
Yeah.
Ooh. There's a weird tartness to it.
Just to
I can't pick that up.
Just to backtrack while he's trying to figure out if he's going to taste this or not.
I'm procrastinating.
I bumped my leaf cattle up to 3.5.
Oh wow!
I bumped it up. I had to
revisions.
No big deal, man. Hey, it's not the first time. It was that 75th episode where we had like the trifecta of like change, then Bob's like, "What's going on?" I'm like,
"Yeah,
he
got into stouts. I was liking the IPAs."
And then Andy changed his score like five times. I'm like, what?
There's a few times that'll happen. Like, I'll sit on it.
But in one shot. But like in one shot. Yes. Yeah.
The nice thing about this McCall Roast Malone is a lot of your coffee beers are dark, stout, porter type.
It's helping.
You've got the bitterness to it when it's dark. This doesn't have that bitter bite to it.
No,
it's a smooth coffee. It's coffee all day. I'm not gonna lie. It's coffee all day. It's a roasty coffee all day.
Put it this way.
But it's I've had worse. I've had some better, but this is I like it.
I think it's better as an ale than it would be a stout.
Yeah.
I'll let you finish yours.
The whole thing is like this is more of like it doesn't have that pungent coffee flavor and the acidity to it then too, which is pretty wild for me. And I really like the fact that you're doing a different style that's like a little bit lighter versus like your darker versions then too. That's what really helps out quite a bit with some of these beers, like you're saying, Andy, the cream ales and like this American red ale. That's what really makes it a lot easier because then you can really like if somebody says I don't care for coffee or I don't like coffee that wanted to try something with coffee, you're really dipping their toes in to that aspect, and that's really what
it's all about.
The coffee's there. It's not super overpowering at all.
Definitely not. It's not. No.
It's like 25 and then like
it's definitely noticeable.
You know what I like about
did you
this?
Even sip it yet?
I did.
Oh, you did?
You know what I like about this?
I'm like two sips in.
It's there's nothing else with it. Like a lot of your coffee flavored beers,
yeah, like chocolate,
have a chocolate or this or
see,
that.
I would disagree.
This is just for me. It's just a roasty coffee.
See, I disagree. So for me, my initial upfront coffee taste is very very strong. Very very strong.
Mm-hmm.
But then the ale kicks in, like the smoothness of the ale,
mm-hmm.
and then the aftertaste. I get a, and I've never had this in a beer ever. So when every time they say this is in a beer, I never really picked it up as much as I am right now. I get the caramel and toffee.
Oh yeah,
I get a lot of caramel at the back end of this. Like when it's like right now when
that's
I'm sitting
definitely in there.
Right now when I'm sitting on the end of it, I taste the caramel. Like
yeah,
the, like so it's crazy to me. So
I didn't pick it
where
up.
where I would drink.
And I love caramel.
If you want a little bit more, just so you can experience it, I'm not trying to get away from the beer. So for me, when I initially taste it, I get all the coffee, and I'm like, ugh, like I hate the taste of coffee. And then it sits on me for a second, and then after like it goes away, then that caramel really kicks in at the end.
Yeah, there's a good kick of the caramel and toffee at the end.
Yeah, now that you bring that up, that's at the very end because like you taste that coffee initially, and it's like 45-50%, and then the rest of the beer, that's where it falls.
No,
the red
I'm
ale,
just
the top.
All day.
That weird tartness has gone after the first few sips. Like, mm-hmm. like the first hit of it, I'm like, what is that? There's a weird tartness to it, but.
Yeah, when
it
kind of
levels out
tart.
After you.
Yeah, I'm not picking up.
Like I said, it was right off the.
All day.
It was right off that first sip that I took. I'm like, there's something like bright about it. Mm-hmm.
Now, like when you said about that tart, I didn't even pick that up at all. It might just because my tongue is like just bastardized, and I'm just trying to really pick everything out then too. But no, I think this is really an excellent. I'll even get into my rating for it. That is a definite solid 3.75 for me because how everything balances out and it's a red ale then too. Holy shit, that's pretty decent. McCall, you're doing some great things. I hope you keep continuing to do kind of experimental stuff with with coffee and whatever ingredient that you throw into and throw into different styles. It might actually work out. It's kind of like one of those trial and error things that we're talking about in this episode.
I'll tell you what, between McCall and Brew Daddy, they are like the heavy hitters of the Allentown area. They make some banging beer. I mean, listen, I'm not a coffee person, right? But that is still a very interesting beer. If that was a porter, I would not probably been. Or I mean, if that was a stout, I probably would not have been able to finish it. Just being honest. But being an ale definitely helps me. The can art alone forced me to get that glass down. I just not at all a coffee flavored person, but I got a lot of that caramel and I did get the toffee at the end. Like I said, if you're a coffee person, I think you'll love this. Not so much your dark like a dark coffee, like your black. You know what I mean? Like I feel like the creamer.
Like
and,
a
yeah.
caramel latte.
If you had to have a morning beer Saturday or Sunday or whatever your weekends fall, this would definitely be one to start your morning right with.
Isn't it
like Folgers?
Some people do it, man. Hey.
I believe.
I'm stuck
real quick.
Between.
Hey, what's up, Tori? Sorry, I did see your thing, but we were talking, so I didn't want to interrupt. But thank you for hanging out, and we'll see you soon. Tori's coming over to hang out later on today.
I was torn between 3.5, 3.75. I went 3.75 simply because of the uniqueness of the amber color ale.
Yeah.
Normally, your coffees are dark, stout, porter types. This is a good beer. I like it. So I went with a 3.75.
I would, if I had to score it, I would give it a 2.75.
Okay, no, it's not your wheelhouse.
To me,
but
that's to even say I would score it is a lot because I wouldn't like that. You know what I mean? If mm-hmm. I am gonna try to stick to my thing I said before where I'm not scoring on Untappd. But yeah, it was an interesting experience. But the can art's fucking amazing.
Somebody added the description of pumpkin into this.
Yeah. No,
what the hell?
They're a high.
What the hell, man?
You brought this one, right?
No, I
Rohrbach.
Who brought this?
Wait, are you talking about the roast Malone?
I'm still talking about roast Malone. Oh, okay. Malone? Sorry. Yeah, roast Malone. Yeah, I'm like, somebody put pumpkin in there.
No, definitely no pumpkin.
Jesus. I'm like, I don't even taste anything like that.
I go 3.5. I'm still getting that weird tartness to it.
Yep.
I do like the caramel and the toffee notes at the end, but I'm also getting an ashtray taste at the end too, which I mean fits the Post Malone like thing. So maybe that's what they're going for.
They should put cigarette butts.
Yeah,
in it.
I mean that. I kind of getting a.
You don't want that.
Like an ashtray taste at the end. Like,
yeah,
it's that's a kind of lowering a little bit, but it's a solid. It's pretty good. That tartness, I'm still kind of getting it. It mellows out a little bit as I go, but I don't know if that's just me.
I want someone to make a Post Malone beer, but make like a Bud Light clone, because that's all he drinks is Bud Light. Yeah.
But no, it's a 3.5. It's not bad. McCall.
So who brought the Scotch Ale?
I did.
Okay. Ooh, I knew someone
brought Scotch Ale.
This is a very ale episode right here. I didn't realize how much ale we got.
I was
on.
A little...
Everything's an ale.
The Scotch Ale Rohrbach... brewing company out of Rochester.
Rochester.
Their flagship brew, Rochester, Rohrbach's famous Scottish style ale, is a strong, full bodied ale with sweet caramel finish.
Yeah, it's super easy one there.
Yeah. 22,000 total check ins? No. 11,000 check ins.
Have you been to their brewery or just is this one?
I have not. This one I picked up at the beer store. I picked up a 4-pack. No, I picked up at. In Cortland is the beer store that has a bunch of variety, IPAs, all kind of stuff, plus your normal, you know, it's just your regular beer store.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in, I saw this, I picked up the Scotch Ale thinking it was going to be almost like a bourbon barrel aged, only Scotch
barrel.
And it wasn't. It was, threw me for a loop. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good for a Scottish style ale. See what you guys think of it.
We'll now, you said you just came across two more breweries that just opened up in the Cortland area.
Yes. Well, the one opened up not too long ago. I think the other one's been around for a while. Obviously, in downtown Cortland is Cortland Brewing Company. And then just outside of Cortland in the next town over is Homer.
I think Cortland Brewing Company, mm-hmm. this is a blast in the past. Ben can probably confirm because he's like our... just show historian. I think Cortland was the first brewery that we did a showcase for where the entire lineup was all one brewery.
Very possible.
It was very, very early.
All Cortland, yes. That would be all just one particular.
We did six beers from them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we only did like mini ones where like I would have like a single, double, triple like from like Hoof Hearted.
But it would be mixed in with other beers.
Right, yeah. But still not one
I think
pure...
you're right. Cortland was the first exclusive.
No, that would be absolutely right.
I like when we do stuff like how we do the Yingling episodes. Like most of what we normally do is like everyone brings a beer and we have like a mix of beers from out of state, in state, and we kind of mix it up. And then every now and then we're like, hey, here's an entire lineup of one brewery.
Yeah.
I like that we do those flip-flops, you know? I think it's a good time.
It brings variety to the show. It just brings, like, something to showcase, you know what I mean, and two on top of that.
I think what we're going to do is, on next Friday, we have a lineup of beers. Mm-hmm. We're going to do more Oktoberfest.
Are we having Bob on this next week?
I believe so. Yeah, I think it's every other Friday. Okay. So, yeah, we'll have Bob on. And then
I'm going to get those tattered flags. I want to bring the tattered flags along because they're at the ready.
Yeah, that those I'm not sure yet because they've been sitting longer than I maybe would like.
I think they'll be all right. We'll be all right with them.
I think they might be like bonus content episode. Like we can drink them, but I don't know if they'll be on the actual episode.
So put them off for another week.
No.
I'm kidding.
Bring them. That'll probably be like an off camera, like not off camera, but maybe we'll record it and put it up as like a
should,
bonus.
Yeah,
thing.
We should definitely record those. So I'm kind of curious to try those out.
We sat on them a little longer than I'd like to, though. But
it is what it is.
But then on Sunday, I think you have an entire lineup of what did you just buy?
I got Warwick Farm.
Yeah.
Warwick Farm is like roughly around like the Philly area.
We have like four or five of those.
I have four or five of those. A double IPA, a maize Pilsner, an unfiltered Pilsner.
I was like that golden gun from Back Bay Brewing.
Yeah, I was like, oh, mate, a Maize Lager. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And then maybe one or two, a Marzen from them, and then another one. I forget what I
Yeah, so that'll be cool. That'll be next Sunday, and then we'll be back on Friday.
Supposedly they make good stuff, too.
With
so.
With Oktoberfest Part 3.
I feel like I might have had something from them. That's pretty good.
I've had maybe one or two things, but I really want to have like what they have. Yeah.
All right, so this has been checked in 11,000 times. It averages a 3.83. We have not done this. I have not done this stat the entire episode. And, yeah, Rochester, New York. Three friends checked in. It averages a 3.42 for me. It's a 6.8 ABV, 16 IBU. Scott Ale / Wee Heavy.
Yeah, that's what same they call style. Yeah, it's a Wee Heavy.
I don't know what that means, but I like it.
It's a wee heavy.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I would definitely use that in a bar room. Be like, I want that wee heavy.
Let me get the wee heavy. Give me a pint of bitter.
I think they threw that in there just to be like, let's see that if would some be, asshole. Right.
Like Scotch Ales and Irish Reds are kind of along those same lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, Scotland, Ireland. Yeah.
So I know I've said this a few times on the show. Like, I love going to breweries and I love experiencing that, like, and bringing our setup to a brewery. There's no better feeling for me than that. That's just really cool. Even though it stresses me the fuck out, I have a panic attack the entire time. Like, anytime I go on location, I have a panic attack.
And how many times have you been doing it?
A lot. I've done it a lot. Like, everyone's like, did you experience anything spooky at Jim Thorpe? And I was like, no. I was so scared of my equipment not working that I didn't even care that there was. I would have slept in that prison. I didn't even think of ghosts. Like,
put me in the handprint cell.
Jesus. Yeah. So, but it was a great experience. I think my dream goal for this podcast, right, would be, and I would be like a twofer. We would do this podcast and Truth Behind Illusion. But imagine if we got to the point where we made if we were making money on this, we're like, because I wouldn't expect people to do it out of pocket. Could you imagine going to Scotland or?
Dude, I'll do it out of pocket. I give a fuck.
Scotland or Ireland and doing a
dude,
week.
That'd be amazing.
Like going to Ireland or Scotland for and just going to different brew pubs and stuff and setting up hey, can we come do an American podcast in your pub or bar?
Are we doing this as a bar call and then figuring out who can actually put the equipment away?
Dude, we get BrewDog. We're amazing because we're out of Scotland.
Guinness,
definitely. St. James Gate, ooh, definitely.
And then we would have to do we'd have to have a beer, do an episode on the Lake of the Loch Ness Monster.
There you go.
But
you asked me about breweries near Cortland.
Yeah.
So there's three of them in addition to Cortland Brewing that's ooh, fairly close. The new one is Homer Hops. They just opened up their brew pub and they've got some really good beers that they're making. They're still kind of small, localized distribution. Mm-hmm. But they've got some good beer.
Okay.
Right up the road from them is Spring Hill Brewery. I've never been there. A friend of mine, colleague of mine I work with, says their beer is really good. Visiting their place is awesome. And then you passed it when we were going to the Finger Lakes, Hopshire Farm and Brewery, and on the way to Ithaca, between Cortland and Ithaca, is another one that's been there for a little while. But Homer Hops is the new one just outside of Cortland in the town of Homer. I have yet to be there, to go there, but I have had a few of their beers, and they're pretty good.
Yeah. Let me pull up real quick while Ben stepped away for a second. First impression of the Scotch Ale, I dig it a lot.
It's a Scotch Ale. I mean, it's to the T.
Yeah.
Not a Scotch Ale, but to compare it to, because I can't think of any specific ones off the top of my head, but to compare it, Smittix, the Irish Red Ale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's well,
while Ben's gone for a second, let's get into politics, but in but beer version.
Beer politics.
Beer
okay.
Politics.
Beer politics.
Beer politics.
So this is fully credited from Breweries in Pennsylvania, my favorite beer website. We recently published all about the HB 2513 bill and what it means for breweries, bars, and restaurants. The governor has decided to veto this bill and vote on both pass the PA state Senate and the House of Representatives. What next comes next in this process? You could read the message on why he voted the bill here. So you can click on this on their website and find out exactly why he. why he did what he did. But we spoke to the leading liquor law attorney, Matt Arson, and Norris McCollin, law for the get the breakdown of the process. Since the governor has vetoed and legislative override vote is needed for the bill to move forward and pass, for the override work to work, 2/3 of the legislatures of Pennsylvania state, Senate and House of Representatives, probably shouldn't do this like the sixth beer in, have voted in favor to override.
I can read too if you need.
Those votes could concur as early as 10-19. 72% of the House originally voted in favor, and 88% of the Senate voted in favor. Each chamber only needs 67% of the job done. Similar bills have failed during this process. I guess pretty much what they're saying is with this new law, I guess they tried to put more less restrictions on bar rooms and breweries, yeah, because they are allowing stadiums and out seating areas, yeah, for people to go in and experience events, yeah, and they're trying to.
But they're still screwing over breweries and bars.
And they wanted to open up 100%.
Yeah.
And the legislation, the bill passed in the House and the Senate, and then Wolf, in fairness, I won't use the nickname I've given him.
Okay.
Wolf vetoed the bill.
Yeah.
So to override it, they need 2/3 override in both the House and the Senate. I don't know if they'll get it. I haven't been following the bill.
I know.
I
feel like some bars are just saying, like, fuck it.
Well, one bar in particular said fuck it and got their hand slapped recently.
Locally. Yeah.
I'm not going to say the name.
I think I know which
one
you're
talking about. Some of the ridiculous stuff about this, though, is...
The owner got a hand slap, and now he must close at 11 o'clock.
So some of the ridiculous around is, like, specifically the bar seating. Like, my brother-in-law will always put this to, like, he will go out by himself, like, because he's just by himself, and, like, he's like, I feel bad taking a table up.
Yeah.
Like, if I want to go eat,
yeah,
like, why can't I have a bar seat? And then 6 feet away, you can put another goddamn bar seat. Yeah. Like, especially if you have a big bar, that makes no sense. Like, why can't you have bar seating?
It befuddles me. In New York, I can sit at the bar.
Really?
Yes.
I know when we were up there, they were like, no.
No, you can sit at the bar. You have to order food, but you can sit at the bar. The problem is everybody wants to sit at the bar. So now I'm trying to think, because I was
like,
just
that's
there.
Like the back of the bus now. That's like where the cool kids sit. Like,
but it used to, and I think it changed recently with Cuomo, where now you've got to sit at a table. So they push the table up against the bar.
I love that move.
And, excuse me. But I'm like your brother-in-law. I'm a little shy on going into a bar by myself.
Yeah.
Because if three friends want to go out to eat and go to the place, and
you're
sitting at
a table.
I'm taping up. Not only am I taking up a table to have a couple of beers and have French fries I'm not
going to
fucking eat, but now you've got three people. Well, yeah, but now you got three people who legit want to spend money in there.
Mm-hmm. And you feel bad for the business.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for the business because I'm buying two beers or three beers and going home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to spend the night there. And a lot of the places up there close at like 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of the places in Cortland close at 9 o'clock. We're here; they got to close at 11.
Because like 11:30 in Pennsylvania is when the COVID boogeyman comes out and starts sprinkling.
Yeah, but
it on you.
Like I can't understand if I'm sitting at a bar, if I'm sitting at the bar in a bar stool, and I'm sitting here, I'm at a higher risk of catching COVID than if I'm sitting at a fucking table eating food, sitting down here. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. I mean,
that's
Wolf
where,
makes
like,
no sense.
No,
I understand
the ridiculousness.
It's more for the numbers in the bar. But if you're restricting the number of people to 25% capacity, what difference does it make if you're socially distancing at a table or socially distancing at the fucking bar?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I feel like your bar will be cleaned more often than they would the table anyway.
What's I talked to, like, when I
realistically,
got my,
how long does it take to bust a table sometimes when you're at a restaurant? It takes a little bit.
Yeah, and you got to clean it.
And then usually when someone gets up from a bar, the bartender walks right over and wipes the bar, sprays it down.
I don't want to downplay COVID-19.
No,
but I got to be honest with you. everybody's going bonkers over this, and I understand it, and there are folks that need to be concerned, but the mortality rate, the fatality rate is not much higher than the flu.
But and, even regardless the media, of that, though, like
the media is focusing on the mortality rate and the people getting sick versus the people recovering, because the percentage is so great.
That's been skewed since the get-go. But like, I mean, the whole thing is choice, though. I think what it boils down to, it's like if I am personally choosing to go out to X bar, then I am fully accepting that if I get COVID and I get sick, that's it.
Yeah,
I get sick, but it's my choice to make that to go out there, like. Mm-hmm. To, like, if you want to go out to a bar or a restaurant and, like, not having bar seating for no reason whatsoever, because, I mean, look, like, if you're sitting, you have a good 3 to 6 feet between the bartender and you anyway, so I don't know if that's the problem, but, like, literally, like, if you're a single person or, like, just two of you, like, I'm cool sitting at the bar. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather sit at the bar than take up a table for four for other people.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think Wolf is looking at it as, I can control the bar and restaurant industry, because they need a state license to operate, versus supermarkets and department stores and Walmarts, they don't.
Yeah.
So Wolf can't control the how many people go into a Walmart, but he can control how many people go into
the bar. Yeah, and the PLCB's been a piece of shit for the longest time either, anyway.
And he can tell Holden, who's now in charge of the LCB, because he's fucking Democrat and Wolf's friends, But he can control what the LCB does because he's the governor and Holden's his buddy.
Yeah.
You know, but he can't control what Walmart does or what the supermarket does.
Yeah, it's
I got a lot of backlash.
You went hard and pain on that one.
Of course it did.
But yeah, so if you want to read more about that, you can head over to breweriesinpennsylvania.com. It's a great place to follow beer news. So we didn't really dive into it much for the politics side of things. We dove in it more because it is affecting the beer world.
Consumer, that type.
I mean, it's not like a Republican-Democrat thing. It's just a, like, what's ridiculous and what isn't thing.
Yeah, you know? it's just some of the ridiculousness, to paraphrase an MTV TV show, the ridiculousness of some of the decisions that your esteemed governor and my esteemed governor are making. And I can't. You know, Wolf has said many times, we're using science to make our decisions. I'm using science to help make my decisions. And then he makes these decisions, and you're sitting there thinking, what fucking science was that?
Yeah. Well, I was talking, this came out when I went to get my tattoo finished on Thursday. And, like, this has been postponed since March now. Like, I had to move it twice because of all the restrictions.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And when I was talking to my artist, he's like, our priority is sanitation. It's like, you can have 700 people go to Walmart, but I can't sterilize my studio and require my people to come in with their COVID check, like their temperature checks, wear the masks, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the 700 people can go to Walmart wearing masks around their nose. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, literally a tattoo shop is probably one of the cleanest places you can go, unless it's certain ones.
Yeah. Where did you go for your ink?
Integrity Tattoo in Royersford.
Okay.
Kyle Berry's fantastic.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
At Ink Bear on Instagram.
That red popped, yeah.
I am so happy with it. I can't wait to get the rest of the arm done.
Yeah.
I really like that. So, good job to him.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, no, his cool work shit is amazing.
Wow, this is...
At Ink Bear, BEHR on Instagram.
Who brought this? You?
No, I did not.
I forget who brought this.
Which one's this?
This is Galaxy Pulp Daddy.
I think that might have been Jason, maybe?
No, it's not that old.
No.
This might have been a bobber. Might be a bob beer.
Massachusetts.
Galaxy Pulp Daddy.
Massachusetts?
Worcester.
I don't know. Maybe Bob. This might be a bob beer.
It's really
Worcester,
good.
Mass. Chewed on. It's canned on 9-1, so it's still fairly recent.
Okay.
Between.
Did you just slam that?
Between like five people.
Or am I just that behind?
I know. I have to. I didn't pour it all yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you already did.
Well, before we get into this, I just wanted to get it ready. What does everyone think of the Scotch Ale?
I mean, it's a standard Scotch ale. There's nothing fantastic about it. There's nothing bad about it.
I'm sorry,
just like fancy about it, but it's a standard Scotch ale. Middle ground, I gave it 3.5.
I'm in with
3.25.
3.5.
One of those.
So it smelled a little bit of sour to me on the nose, but then it didn't, like when I tasted it. Did anyone get anything like that at all from the Scotch ale?
There's a slight tarty sweetness to it, which is kind of a thing for a Scotch ale anyway.
Okay. No, yeah. I was just kind of curious. No.
Turkey Hill Brewing makes a pretty good Scotch ale, too. And they usually, they'll put it on their, like, beer engine, too.
Okay.
So, like, it'll be, like, the 1800s, like, pump brew.
Oh, geez. Yeah, really that's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
They'll have it, like, naturally carbonated in, like, a wooden barrel and stuff.
There you go. Yeah. Now, for me, I gave it a 3.25 because, again, we never really have any Scotch ales on the show.
That's kind of another really with it, like the rye. It's like an underserviced, like there's not a lot of those classic like British Isles beers out right
yeah
now. like brown ales and bitter extra special bitters.
I think Red Hook commercially is one of the best extra special bitters.
Good ESB. There's some really good British beers out there that don't, they're underserved because they're like very like bready, I guess. So.
Yeah, I would say maybe like I had maybe 3 ESBs, including Red Hook, and that's saying something.
Turkey Hill also makes a really good ESB, too.
Oh, wow.
They focus there on a lot of traditional stuff, so if you've never been to Turkey Hill Brewing in Bloomsburg, they have a lot of really good traditional stuff.
That's cool. That's really cool to know. I know Marley's always has, like, a rotating tap, because I know Andy Fisher, the head brewer, he actually was a head brewer of Cigar City at one point time. So, like, he does, a whole lot of different stuff. He also does some homebrew brew stuff that actually rotates then as well. So it's always nice seeing him put some different stuff up. Hop Nuggets was a Saison that he actually did. It was pretty cool. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a few other ones that he had that I really liked. And they call it Tubby's Triple, which is the Belgium Triple. So nice. definitely a good place, too,
Marley's
to go.
Yeah, Marley's is good.
Eclectic.
Turkey Hill's awesome. Like I said, Turkey Hill, like they'll do modern stuff too, but like they have a real good focus on a lot of their like classic stuff.
Yeah,
like I said, like ESBs, lagers, pilsners, hefeweizens.
And if you're ever looking for a good craft beer bar that's actually pretty cheap, and if you want to get Mad Elf for $5, a 16 ounce, good old days is a good place too. That's a good place.
That sounds
like
a lot of trouble.
Where can you get Hershey chocolate for $16 a six pack?
Rotunda.
Oh, wow, that's for one.
So one six-pack, $16.
That's fucking bad.
I could literally
that's
walk.
That's fucking high-rent robbery.
I could walk.
If you're paying it, though, you're probably whatever.
Just as bad.
I could walk 16 steps to the corner and get a case.
Dude, I could have gone to, like,
$25.
What are you doing, fucking lunges or what?
Yeah.
16 steps. From here to the
bounds. I mean, not actually 16 steps over.
Okay, I was
going to
say, I'm like,
thinker.
Those are barely lunges. You're not even.
But yeah, no.
There's who's selling a six pack?
Rotunda's selling Hershey's chocolate porter for $16.
That's
a,
so
a six
bad.
Pack.
I'm
you can get a 12 pack for $14.
I mean, you can get a case for $25.
I picked one up at Weiss Market, $17 for a 12 pack. It's probably like not the way to go, but I was making my way through there.
Oh,
anyway.
12 pack over a six pack.
Yeah, but still though, $17, 12 pack, you're getting.
Yeah, Weiss.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's a dollar more than
$13.99 at the craft.
It's a dollar more than a six pack of Rotunda.
Man, I got fucking soaked. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think it's,
shame
it's
on you,
like
Weiss Markets, Pottsville.
$13.99 a 12 pack at the craft house, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's like 23 something.
Shame
like
on me for just stopping in.
Yeah. Should have read the beer community page.
Oh well.
And went to the craft house.
Yeah.
Or you could have went to the keg stand or anywhere else and got it for a case of it for $25.
I love the this is so weird back and forth regarding Hershey's chocolate.
Oh, my God. It's a fucking... people are
so
angry that people like
this
beer.
It's like politics. You either love it or hate it.
Yeah. And a lot of
there's no in between.
And a lot of people who don't want you to like it are because they support Trump or because they...
No, they don't. Oh, yeah. England support.
Or because they are a union or
well,
whatever.
Well, yeah, you always have that guy. That or that group of guys.
It's like when people latch onto
to
one thing
in,
on the Bible.
Yeah, they try to tie in their dislike for
it's like,
the beer.
I don't like those gays, but you're not stoning your wife to death for changing her hair color.
Yeah. They try to they try to tie in their dislike for the beer based on the owner's political views or a political view. And Yingling gets a bad rap for that. If it's not because he supported Trump, it's because he's non-union.
Yeah.
He makes a good fucking beer. I don't care if he's union or not.
I don't understand the vitriol.
We love you, Mr. Yingling.
I mean, like, it's probably, this is a different conversation.
Come on,
I don't understand that vitriol about the whole union shit.
I think there's a lot of fault with that. I can kind
of
see why.
Unions had their place. now it depends on the situation you're in.
Yeah,
they're out to make money.
If it works for your business, then
yeah, go for it. If it doesn't,
I would venture to say
if it's a shit, if it's a shitty venture, but the call it Yingling, like if it's a shitty position where like you know management really rides, because I have a huge thing about it then too, like. And I mean, I get it. Like, if you're not against it, but try and treat people normal. Like, that's really what it comes down to.
The biggest thing is they were like, oh, Yingling's anti-worker. It's like, yo, everyone loves working for fucking Yingling.
Never met a disgruntled Yingling employee. And they work crazy, like, not crazy hours, but some of the people I know that work there, they put some hours in. And they come home and they're like, I like where I work.
Yeah.
Hey, management, be human. Don't treat people like shit.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to.
I met one guy.
You don't need unions.
I know one
that.
Guy that left Yingling because he wasn't happy. Because of the job.
Does he have a bad work ethic?
No. Not because of the job, but because of the shift. He was working. Won it first. Didn't get it. Thought he had the seniority to get it. Didn't get it. So he left.
I mean,
and
that's unfortunately on them then. Yeah.
But it had nothing to do with the job.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to play that. You're going to have that problem no matter where you work.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So.
Exactly.
All right, Ben, read up some Galaxy Pulp Daddy.
Galaxy Pulp Daddy is a greater good Imperial Brewing Company, Imperial Double New England IPA, clocking in at 8% alcohol by volume. They are from Worcester, Massachusetts.
Worcester.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Worcester, Mass.
We've taken the original Pulp Daddy recipe and swapped almost all of the Citra Mosaic dry hop with Galaxy hops, a new stellar version of our most popular beer, Pulp Daddy.
I haven't had a Galaxy hop touch this tongue in a long time.
I liked it. I gave it a 3.5.
Citrusy,
juicy, enough hoppiness to let you know it's there, but not too hoppy. I liked it.
Deceptive at 8%.
Yeah, no, this is it's.
I was going to say an all day if it's a good introduction to an IPA or an all day, but I didn't know what the ABV was, so I didn't want to say a good all day.
Great introduction to an Imperial. Holy shit.
Yeah, no, this is super solid.
Give that to your buddy after three regular beers, and then he'd be flying like, what the fuck, man? Yeah,
this is the beer that
and you know what my problem is? This probably deserves a 3.75 for me.
This is a 4 for me.
Or higher. But,
yeah, I go with a 4.2. This is a great IPA.
But I know what's going to happen because I've already selected my beer of the day. So I can't give another beer a higher score.
Oh, come on. You can't be that locked in.
You can do that.
If it's good, it's good.
I have given I have chosen beer of the nights that weren't my highest rated.
I did too.
Yeah,
because
I might have to
you can do that.
Certain things hit for certain people. And, you know, some things are ingrained.
I don't want to drink this as fast.
I'm biased. On my beer of the day, I'll tell you that right now.
I'll tell you what, it has been a little while since then.
You want to read this?
Oh, we got another one.
Yeah, that's our last one of the night.
All right.
I'll let you read that one off.
But this one, again, this is deceptively smooth.
Yes.
This is a great introductory Imperial New England IPA for somebody that wants to try something like that. That's more along the lines. Yeah, I got a different card this time around, too. So
I bumped mine up to 3.75 from 3.5 on the Pulp Daddy. That's actually pretty good.
Yep, there you go. But, yeah, what I would...
It's a wine opener or something.
Like, what are you doing?
Like, because it's a wine opener.
But Pulp Daddy, deceptively smooth. It's a very great introductory if somebody wants to be like, hey, I want to try a New England-style IPA. And you give them that... They'd be flying after that, but I would certainly say I would be like 3.75-4. It all depends on my mood, but I would say 3.75 for me because that's just a very solid outing from them.
This one's hitting me right now, so I go a 4, but I could see between 3.75 and 4. Oh, so I give it a 3.82.
I bump mine up to 3.75.
I give it a 3.87.
3.87.
A Blink 182.
But, yeah, that's definitely one that that I would say definitely 3.75.
No, super good IPA. When was this one again? And it's
September.
A little over a month old. So, I mean, still super good.
Yeah, definitely not bad. If you have a good shelf life of, like, 1 or 2 months, especially from those, like, that's really good. Yeah. That's stellar, actually.
Super solid.
Oh, and you crushed the cap. I crushed the other one anyway. I like crushing the caps.
All right. Last beer of the night. What do we got, Andrew?
We have the, I just had it.
Susquehanna.
The Susquehanna Brewing Company Oktoberfest that has no description.
No description.
None.
It's a Marzen. So it's an Oktoberfest style German beer.
Has anyone here been to Susquehanna Brewing Company?
No.
Actually.
We talked about it.
Actually, I've only been there for Soul Artisan Ale releases, but I actually have been to this brewery. It's pretty much from Frackville, an hour away. Pretty easy to get to, too.
Is what, Pittston?
Pittston. Yeah, Pittston. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
265 beers. They average a 3.58.
Everything I've had from Susquehanna has always been pretty solid.
You can find this beer we're drinking right now at the Craft House in Minersville.
Their shandies in the summer are always really good. Like, I forget what they're called off the top of my head, but they have like an orange one, a lemon.
So,
Leo's a grapefruit.
I looked at the can, obviously, for Bolero Snort, and I thought this was their Oktoberfest. And then, obviously, an Oktoberfest is not your traditional Oktoberfest. Mm-hmm. So, I thought I had three Oktoberfests for this episode when we were scrambling to get this episode ready. And realized that we only have one Oktoberfest this episode.
No, we had this one, and we had the...
That's
a fall.
We had a fall oriented.
Yeah,
it happens.
So we have two like hybrid Oktoberfest beers.
Yeah.
I just think people really appreciate what we do.
Yeah.
And we're just knocking out different shit.
I just realized that we named this Oktoberfest episode number 2 and had one Oktoberfest beer. So
Oktoberfest episode 1.5.
Yeah. So shame on us.
This is a unique. Oktoberfest beer. Ooh.
Wow.
That has a really strong scent to the nose.
It does.
That's like good super scent. Sweet.
It's very sweet.
A good scent.
Very sweet.
But it's a quite malty.
Sweet caramel. Deceptively smooth. It's really smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And the rich. Sweetness doesn't translate into the actual Oktoberfest overall. That's just like drinking water, pretty much. Like, it's that smooth. Wow. That's interesting.
I don't know if I would go sweet versus rich.
It's very sweet to me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if it's too sweet for you, it's good for me.
A little too sweet for me.
Not bad.
I can really taste the bread. I can really taste the bread. It's very pronounced in my palate.
If you're still hanging out with us, say hi and let us know what you're drinking. If you're drinking anything on a 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon,
I wouldn't call this my favorite Oktoberfest.
No, definitely not for me either. I honestly, man, Brew Daddy's is still.
But not a bad October. I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Brew Daddy's was so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
I got to agree with you on that. I really did enjoy that. It's been a long time. It's been a while, and like dipping your toes back in a way, it's a hard bar to break.
Of the Oktoberfest I've tried, I missed the first episode, but.
Are you coming home next weekend?
No.
No?
No.
What's today? Oh, yeah.
17th, 18th.
I don't even know if they would have any left at this point.
Who's that?
Brew Daddy is. I say we have to make a trip to Allen. Dude, you have to try that beer. It's so good.
Yeah, that is actually that's a nice little place too. It's like two places, and they even have heaters like around them too. And like you can like just chill outside.
Yeah,
chill outside, be comfortable. It's that yeah. that was really cool how he had it set up. That's a smart way to go about it.
Yeah. Did you try this yet?
Yes.
What do you think?
It's solid Oktoberfest.
A little sweet for me.
I think I really enjoyed it, too.
I'm not getting any sweetness, really.
No?
I get that maltiness in the...
I know you weren't here for the last one, but so far, Oktoberfest, like, different ones you've had this season, what would your top one be so far?
Oh, God, let me think what I've had. Brew Daddy's is probably my number one.
Yeah, that's what we just said, too.
I guess now I can get there's a little sweetness to it.
Brew Daddy and Yingling are my...
Yingling.
Yeah.
The Packer Shore from Germany was really good.
Oh,
I got to bring
Germany,
one of those
Germany, well.
Yeah. I got to bring one of those up. Not speaking, that I got it from Germany, but...
Speaking of Germany, there is a possibility.
We're going to Germany?
I'm going to Germany.
Oh,
fuck.
There's a possibility. I'm going to Europe
next
year. There's a slight possibility.
Are you going for, like, bike riding?
Yeah.
You're such a nerd.
You're going to do the Tour de France?
No.
All right. I typically don't add my hat into the ring, but you are a nerd senior.
No. The group I bike with, they're talking about.
My passport renewed. It expires this year.
They're talking about going possibly next year, maybe 2022, depending on COVID.
Interesting.
Yeah. But they're talking Austria and some other
motherland.
Places.
I would love to live in the UK.
I just got a fucking. But I am actually talking about next summer.
I'm looking at the European trips too.
Next summer. We've put off Caribbean for at least a year.
Buy your tickets now. Go for
Caribbean.
Broke
I need
whenever
to see
time
else.
Comes.
Yeah, so I'm thinking just next summer we're going to do something in the United States.
My number twos are, my one and two are Iceland and Norway.
Yeah.
We need to go to.
Yeah, I want to do Ireland. Really
Ireland's
bad.
Up there too, but I just, Norway and Iceland just, I need to go there.
Crazy thing about European stuff is because like their transportation is so fucking wild and so like coordinated.
Oh, you
apparently,
do so
you could do like a whole lot and went.
Well, it's not like, even so much that it's just like everyone like I here's one of my biggest gripes about politics. No matter what side is that, everyone compares so many things to America versus Europe, and it's like Germany's as big as like freaking like Wisconsin. I mean, come on.
And that's another thing with like the whole COVID thing then too, like they're comparing all these other countries.
Yeah, like
I don't mean
more
to get
people...
political about it, but like seriously though, like look how big a lot of the other countries are and then compare them to the United States.
Well, it's like
someone's
like, oh, well, Norway did this. I'm like, Norway has like the population of New York City.
It's like Hazleton.
Yeah.
Yeah. I use this app that I've been meeting people around the world on and having conversations, and the one guy was like, the cool thing about, you know, UK, it's a little different than America, is like I could take a 2-hour train ride and go to a different country that speaks a completely different language than me. Where like in America, you drive 2-3 hours and it's like everyone speaks the same language. I'm like, depends how far south you go. I said some people down south are attempting English, but that southern drawl, it's like you're speaking with someone with the
dialects, accents.
It's like they just got their mouth filled with Novocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I would love to.
European tour is on my list of the next few things we want to do.
I want to experience a football match in the UK. I want to go to a pub. I want to go to a pub.
You want to get a soccer riot?
I want to see
hooligan?
The entire hooligan like pub scene where
make sure you're in the right bar for supporting the right team.
I don't even care whoever the team is.
I just
I'm
be completely neutral role and be like, I'm here to fucking drink.
I'll walk in like, who's everyone's team? And they'll be like, we like this team. Like, me
that's
too.
That's exactly, get
me a scarf and a shirt. I'm in. And I would just sing songs.
I got my brass knuckles. Let's go.
Yeah, I would sing. I would sing songs with them. And I would, because like what they do is they all go to a pub.
Blowing bubbles.
Yep. And they go to a pub, they drink, and then they leave the pub and march to the stadium. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
dude.
If like football was like that in the U.S., I'd be all about it. But
yeah, it's so much cooler. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit more organized. Yeah. They got their shit together a little bit.
I mean,
bit,
no, they don't.
No,
kind,
no.
Well, kind of.
No, they're like,
I mean, if you're marching a stadium together, I mean, that's kind of getting your shit together versus
then, like,
everybody else, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, but you also have the chance then for, like, to watch, like, a team pass a ball for, like, 3 hours.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful game.
Oh, I don't have a problem with soccer, but that could happen.
Yeah, it can happen. I took him to his first professional. Well, I didn't take him. He technically drove, so he took me. We went to our first MLS pro soccer game, and it wasn't even like it was an American soccer game, so it's not even as cool as like UK. But he was just like, they don't stop the whole game. They don't stop.
Mm-mm.
I'm like, and this is a small. I told him, I said, this is a small scale. I want to see it like in England, where like 60,000,
they go ape shit,
where 100,000 people are doing that.
For 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
Yeah.
They go ape shit. Oh, yeah.
The DC United game, they literally have a section, like the super fan section.
Yeah.
And they have drums. And they have smoke machines going off. And they're just, oh, hey, oh, hey, for
fucking
90
goofy,
minutes
man.
Straight.
Yeah.
They don't
love
stop.
That.
And then that goal happens, and they lose their
goal!
Shit. Yeah.
That's how my one buddy in Allentown, like, he watches, like, soccer, like, on the French channel. And, like, it just, they go ape shit. I'm like, I'll just blend in. I'll be like, yeah, like whatever, do whatever.
I can honestly say,
did we rate the Oktoberfest?
Well, one thing
we
did not
get around to.
I seen Wayne Rooney score a goal live. I'm very happy to say I seen that.
Well, like the Europe thing, though, like, what's cool is that, like, most people speak English, too, though. So.
Yeah.
But, like, my best friends, when I used to play EverQuest back in the day, my best friends were in the game were from Sweden, Germany, and France.
There you go, man.
Can I come sleep on your couch?
Dude, I still have friends. I have a friend I'm 99% sure if I go to France, he'll let me crash at his place.
That's awesome. Nice.
Andy Hare.
They're like,
Andy Hare.
I don't know.
I can message him right now. I'm like, yo, dude, I'm going to. Like, he does, like, freaking these weird, like, cannonball run rally things. Like,
oh, with the cars.
Yeah, he does some kind of support with those things. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's getting a car and drive.
Wow, that's wild. Cannonball rally. Yeah.
All right, here's the thing. If you went to England, right, you rented a car to drive around Europe, your first pub you go to and you get a little fucking sauced up, you know what I mean? And you're like, all right.
You're driving on the wrong side of the road.
I'm in an accident 2 minutes later.
Because you forget you're on the wrong
side.
But what do you remember? Because you're on also the wrong side of the car.
Yeah.
I would be the judge. I would get a DUI just trying to open the fucking door. I'd be getting in the wrong door.
You'd be in the passenger seat.
I'd be in the passenger
thinking
seat.
Thinking you're in the driver's seat.
The fuck? Could you imagine, like, when you get pulled over by the cop, whenever that happens, then to be like
American.
Hey, are you American? Yeah. Like, you pull out your passport, be like, okay, that's a warning. You get your first warning and to be done it over with.
I'll give you a ride to your house.
But if I catch you again, don't do it. Like, don't think about it.
All right, Pops, you start us off. What do you think of Susquehanna?
3-2-5. Not bad, but I've had better Oktoberfests.
I'm with you, 3-2-5 as well.
Did I score?
I think I'm going to go with the – I'll actually go with the 3-2-5 as well. I still can't shake out that Brew Daddy Oktoberfest.
So good. So good.
Had everything going for it. I mean
– that might be my Oktoberfest of the year so far.
Yeah, I agree across the board. 3-2-5.
Actually, we had a Warhorse Oktoberfest.
You did.
Which was good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was my
number. That was like the that was the one with FDR on it.
Yeah, I said that one's actually that one's very close.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah,
that I owe you a beer for that, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll hook you up.
That one was a close two for Yingling with me.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was
I did like the Warhorse Oktoberfest. Yeah. Unfortunately, I did not taste Brew Daddies. But I did like Warhorse.
Yeah, Warhorse.
I do like Yingling's Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sam Adams is okay.
Don't forget we have that Warwick Farm. I want to try that one out.
I have two goats Oktoberfest. We have a few more.
There was another Oktoberfest, or was it a pumpkin beer that I had?
We didn't stock up as much on this year with Oktoberfest as we did pumpkin, because at the same time we started going out.
They're not as broadly as available as pumpkins.
Well, the thing is, too, is when we realized that we had to start snapping at the Oktoberfest, we didn't realize that we had to start doing it in July.
And that would have been a whole different realm.
And then when we started snatching up the Oktoberfest, that's when all the pumpkin was there.
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I mean, like, if we're doing it, if we did it,
the ratio was
July,
was 4-1.
They would have been old beers. It just really, I don't think it really would have jived as much.
I'm just saying that's freshness. When they release the Oktoberfest too early every year.
Yeah, I was looking
even
at
if you did like late
beers,
late August,
not
even
so much Oktoberfest, but pumpkin beers. I've tasted some
late August,
beers.
Getting in September, like about a week or two before September, that would be okay.
Like,
but
when I went the beginning of October, end of beginning of October to get my Oktoberfest, it was all pumpkin by that time.
Yeah, it's just
there are always a few
things.
There are always a few months early.
Yeah, they gotta slow down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I understand production, you want to get it out, but I shouldn't be drinking Oktoberfest when it's still 78-80 degrees outside.
Yeah,
no, definitely not.
Yeah, it's getting earlier and earlier every year.
It's Christmas.
Don't get it.
It's like fucking Christmas.
Christmas is going to start, what, in 2 weeks?
Dude, there was fucking Christmas shit in Walmart like the end of September. I'm like,
disgusting.
Yo, let Halloween have its day, man. What about Thanksgiving? What do you think about freaking Thanksgiving?
Here's a quick segue. You experienced your first Rocky Horror Picture Show. What'd you think?
Well, it was...
This is a segue to go listen. We're going to do a full review on Rocky Horror Picture Show and Not Cool in High School this Tuesday. But because you're on this show and we went together.
It was here's how I can explain it. It was a live adaptation of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It was a
live stage
shadow
show.
Shadow play. Yeah.
Yeah, shadow play. And
shadow play wasn't like them doing it.
It was. So like, you know how sometimes they play the movie while it's going? they played a little bit of what was going on, but they did it as if it was a theater production.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool, that's cool.
And,
okay.
And when they did the wedding in the beginning,
yeah,
they actually filmed with the actors the recreate the wedding scene, and then the spots where like a lot of it was just done on stage and not with the movie, and yeah. then it was all done with an actual band. So like instead of replaying the music and just lip singing over it or pretending to sing with it, they had an actual band on stage. And they played singing. The music and they sang. It was done like theater. It was really good.
That's awesome,
though. I thought it was pretty cool realizing it was not the movie, having never seen the movie.
They turned the movie up to 11.
It was pretty cool.
So like the scene where when Dr. Frankenfurth sneaks into Janet and Brad's room. They turned those scenes up to 13.
Yeah.
They simulated butt sex in front of my grandmother.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome. So it was your first time.
That's definitely not the sentence I would have.
It was okay. I mean, it was all right. Now I would like to see Rocky Horror Picture Show,
the actual movie,
mm-hmm.
Hulu
in a movie theater. Because I don't know.
That's what I miss about the theater in Frankfurt.
I don't know if you're gonna if I watch it on Hulu or I watch it on Netflix or whatever.
You're not getting the same experience.
I'm not gonna get the same experience sitting in
Rocky
by myself.
Horror is so ahead of its time. Like you think when it came out was like 72, 73? Is it something like that?
So here's the thing too. He went to the Shadow Play, and the people who went as well to the Shadow Play were very smart fans.
Yeah.
So if you go to a Shadow Play and you sit in a room full of people who never really experienced it, they don't know when to yell things back at the actors and participate with it.
Yeah.
So when you go to Shadow Plays, there's parts of the movie you have to scream things at the screen or scream things at the actors.
Yeah.
So his first time there, he's like, is this the whole time? I said, yes. like people
it was funny
when the first time the narrator takes the stage, someone's supposed to scream, the man in this scene has no fucking neck, right? And then I screamed and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, right.
We were standing in line, and the girl was going around very gladly dressed, scantily dressed, very attractive girl. And she goes, is there any virgins here? And I said, a matter of fact, there is. And I said, Dad, raise your hand. And he goes, what? And I went, him. And she went over with her lipstick and she drew a giant V on his forehead for virgin. And then she came over and I told her to then do it to my grandmother.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
My grandmother looks at her and goes, I'm not a virgin. I have 9 kids or 8 kids.
I'm not a virgin. I have 7 kids.
I have 7 kids.
That's awesome.
No, Mom, it means you're a virgin to the show. She goes, oh, yes, I've never seen this show. I was like,
that's awesome.
You're in
for a show. Yeah, Rocky Horror is so much fun.
It was a good time.
There's one time where Philly Wizard World actually did a thing with Rocky Horror Picture Show, and they had Barry Bostwick,
oh, nice.
The original guy, and like there's people that were getting the fucking Tidy Whiteys signed by him, and like the remarks.
The original Rocky, right?
Yeah. And
No.
Brad.
Yeah.
They had like maybe one or two people that were from Rocky Horror Picture Show, and what they did was they played the movie, and they had like the acting then too. Well, I cosplayed as the one Wolverine from like the 80s series. Ooh. And
sorry about that. Sorry.
I'm like, I bet you any money I'm gonna get fucking picked on. I know right off the bat, you know, because I had like the mutton chops. I grew in the mutton chops and all.
Nice.
Because I was Wolverine. And Dr. Frankenfurter just fucking swings in and like slams his ass in my lap. I'm like, oh my God. And like, I knew it right off the bat. And there's a lady recording me. And I'm like, I knew this was gonna happen.
Yeah.
I didn't know when, but it was gonna happen.
The gentleman who played Rocky looked like he was smuggling a beer can in his shorts.
Yeah.
Dude, he hit the stage, and every woman in the place goes, holy shit.
I love it. Spinal Tap. Did you ever watch Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
So one of my favorite, when they're going through airport security, and freaking Derek St. Hubbins has this big bulge in his pants, and he goes through, and the metal detector goes off, and he takes off his belt, and everything goes back through, and he's like, oh, and he opens up his pants, and he has a fucking cucumber wrapped in aluminum foil in his fucking pants.
I don't think this guy was stuffing his shorts.
Probably not, but that's just what I just think of, and I think it's hilarious.
It was. It was distracting, we'll say. For as a straight male, I was like, Jesus Christ, he's going to hurt somebody with that thing. All right, Ben, we'll start with you. Beer of the night.
Okay. Bolero Snort right off the bat.
There it is. Pops.
Horses stole my beer.
Wow. I'm very shocked. Bolero Snort.
Bolero Snort.
I would have to agree and go Bolero as well.
It just, it captures, and it, so
it's so different.
In an IPA, it captures milkshake. Fall. In a milkshake of all things, too. Yeah. It captures fall. It's great.
All right. Beer number two, Pops.
Number two.
Wow.
Oh, you're going to pick an IPA?
Jesus Christ.
What? Pops, what the fuck?
I did not expect that yet.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I like that better than the Post Malone.
I thought he was going roasty.
We have a three-way tie.
Ooh. Holy shit.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Galaxy is number two for me. All right. I thought Roasty would have made it. I thought you two would have linked up together.
I like the pulp.
I like the
we'll start with you with
differences.
Three.
You son of a bitch. If only he flipped them.
Yeah, right.
I can't vote for Warhorse.
Nope.
Nobody can vote for Roasty.
I'd go Warhorse number three, but since I didn't vote for Roast Malone, I have to vote for Roast Malone.
So that would be your...
That would be my vote. I'd rather Warhorse, but I've already voted for Warhorse.
So that would move up
we'll go,
in the spot.
We'll go Roast Malone for third.
Roast is going to win because my pick would be Scotch Ale. Yep. So there
interesting.
It is.
All right.
So that was
McCall placed again.
The second
by
beer.
Default, because I mean I can't vote for the one I wanted to win.
I really like
the Galaxy Pulp Daddy, but I mean these IPAs are almost a dime a dozen these days right now.
Yeah.
They're all good and they're all around, so that's why I went with something else.
This one definitely was
an honorable mention, the Warhorse.
Yeah, that was definitely one that I really thoroughly enjoyed. Yeah. It had that.
I like the art
citrus.
On it too,
because
it reminds me of like the dogs
overall.
Playing poker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Can art
of the night. Oh, I mean, boy. For me, I'll stick right there at Roast Malone. That's my number one. It's fucking Post Malone.
Yeah, it was a toss up between I'm going.
I really
I'm
like
going
the cattle
with the horses. I'm going. With
I really
the
like the
because you got old timey art. You got something that was pretty cool here with the leaves. You got Post Malone. And then you have like
the Headless Horseman one on October is really
yeah,
cool
but it was too. Like a flaming yeah. horse on yeah. there. Yeah.
All right, we have a four-way tie for Canard of the Night.
This is actually a decent one for.
They're all really good.
Really
they're
good,
all really awesome really cans. I think they all really deserve a.
Yeah.
They all deserve.
I
a
liked
mention.
All. I liked all the like the can art that was picked here. So yeah. Not definitely nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, I think they're all worthy of it. Like New Trail's on point with most of its can art too.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of their labels have been awesome.
They've been simple, right to the point, though, yeah. too. Like, and that's not a bad thing either.
No.
Sometimes you just want something
but like,
simple.
I mean, just whoever's doing the art for them is doing it awesome. Like the Flaming Horse, they have the that one IPA that has like almost it looks like a ring wraith from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The I think the Bolero
yes.
Snort, the can art really describe the beer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would definitely be I would love to get a case of that.
Yeah, no, this is awesome.
That was really delightful.
I really like Warhorse.
I think when it comes to like what I would wear in a t-shirt, I think Warhorse.
Yeah, the Warhorse. Like I said, I really like
wear
the old
in
school.
A light gray, like a light gray shirt with all those like saturated colors popping out.
Dark green shirt, like a Chetty shirt.
When you go to the brewery, see if they have the Bombshell on a t-shirt for me, extra large. Because when we were there last time, they didn't have it in extra large.
The one I got,
the Bombshell, the girl. The girl
riding
on
the bomb.
Yeah.
Riding the bomb.
I only got the logo last time because they didn't have an extra large.
Yeah, I bought the 2X and it's fine.
The what?
Of that shirt.
Of the Bombshell?
I have that shirt.
No, I need an XL.
Yeah, they didn't have the XL.
Yeah.
That's why I bought the 2X.
And if they have a snapback hat, let me know. And I'll send you the money.
All right.
Yeah. Or you can just Christmas present it. Or just do what you do, always combine birthday and Christmas together. Ben, what do you got to plug?
What do I got to plug? We're going to be doing a Warwick Farm episode. My one buddy, Eric Marshall, got me some of that stuff, which
Thank
is
you,
pretty
Eric.
Cool. have to definitely give him a plug. Good friend of mine from my former beer club.
That's not the guy you shit your pants as.
No, no, that's a totally different one. He actually wants to host us for an episode of
Bang. The guy you shit. You're.
He wants to. I think he wants us to come over, like, and what record over at his place. Relax. I'll tell you later.
Shit his pants in his house. Yeah, he got so drunk he shit his pants.
And the bathroom was 10 feet away from me.
That's drunk.
And then, like, searched his house for, like, bags to put his shitty underwear in.
That is drunk.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.
But I feel like if you don't shit your pants again, it's a missed opportunity.
No, there are two things. Definitely not. I'm not doing it again. No. I've got underwear anyway.
I got a funny story for you off the air because I don't want to call anybody out.
But he kind of wants to do an episode with us. So Justin Geist, you know, I'll give a shout out to him.
We'll set something up
because he always has an ever rotating stock of beers, and he kind of wants us to come in. I'll talk to him.
Where does he live?
Mertzville. It's like Lehigh Valley area.
Okay.
It's not cool. Bad.
We'll do a Friday night there, depending as.
Other than that, I'm just trying to think here. Have some cool stuff down the pipeline.
Just remember, we have a lot of pumpkin beer next month, so don't bring too much.
No. I'm just saying, like, we're going off of, like, the Halloween, like, Oktoberfest Halloween-inspired beers. There's two beers I have that are bottles that are a peanut butter swirl style, like, ice cream stout, and also an almond one from Equilibrium that I'm ready to really break out there. Also Tattered Flag, we're sitting on them a little bit, but at the same time I don't think they're going to be too terrible either with the Phantasmagoric series. I still have the triple IPA yet, the regular bottle, and then their Ghost Chili Habanero, Ghost Chili one then as well. And I also have a Barrel Soul Stout then too that my one buddy Aaron, which is my connection for Virginia, actually has. So, and also we have a skinny man or thin.
As like, Ben's saying all this, I'm just in my head looking, like, remembering what's in my fridge. I'm like, where the fuck are we doing all this? Yeah.
But
y'all got to stop buying beer.
That'd be me. You know? But I'm bringing some fucking fire. I'll bring some fire, kind of sprinkle it in here and there. But other than that, that's pretty much it for me. So there's a lot going down.
I don't know about most of this until this part of the show.
I'm sitting here thinking, okay, on what Sunday am I just sleeping at my son's house and getting up at 5 o'clock and going back to New York? Because we've got a lot of fucking beer to drink between now and then.
Yeah.
But, okay.
What do you got to plug, Pops?
Do
you have any secret 13 beers you're sitting on?
No, I'm not sitting on any beers. Not yet. Mm-hmm. We'll see what the next weekend brings on my New York trip with Mom.
There you go, yeah.
I'll probably bring some wine back. I can almost guarantee that.
Get another ghost bottle.
You should
go tell them that we just did a haunted prison and we want to go do an episode at the haunted. Tori can do ghost and drink booze. She'll love it.
She drank wine?
Yeah, she drank the ghost bottle. Oh, I didn't even try it. She smashed that one full episode. Yeah.
Okay. So she liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll bring another bottle back.
I never even experienced it.
The problem with Mom's flavors taste in wine is how they relate to where they're located in the Finger Lakes.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Like, for how much of Tori's done for us logo-wise,
yeah, she'll get a...
She can have all the wine and beer.
Yeah, she'll get a bottle of wine.
If you bring her some Red Cat or whatever that place is, or some ghost wine, Houselit, yeah, she won't be upset about it.
Yeah, no. But Mom's favorite wine is on one side of the lake. My winery is on the other... My favorite winery is on the other side of the lake.
Tell her to take a boat.
And then Warhorse is only 10 minutes from... Haslett, Red Cat.
Next year, when it's like summertime and this whole COVID things, we got to go up as a group.
You don't even have to wait for COVID to be over. Their winery said, fuck it, we're opening.
Really?
Yeah, they got the okay.
We should go up like, and maybe a weekend in November before the snow and stuff hits. We should all go up as a team.
Let me know in advance so then I have some time.
Their hours.
It's just a cool experience.
Their hours are like
I'd be 100% till
5 o'clock.
That.
Yeah,
if your wife likes wines, she'll love it up there.
She likes wine and beer.
And we crashed in Watkins Glen.
We're actually looking at going to Watkins Glen in like January, maybe.
I'll tell you what, if I'm gonna sneeze, The water level is down in the Finger Lakes area.
But
so
it
the
is
waterfalls
everywhere.
Are not running.
That's where it is everywhere, too. We haven't had much rain.
But, I mean, for
we're there to drink.
For
we
those,
don't care about water.
For the folks that are coming up to also do some sightseeing and do the gorge and stuff, it's going to be a little disappointing if the water's not running.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm there to booze.
But it's yeah, the waterfall, right? The Ithaca waterfalls, there's probably a
dozen
of them.
There's some sick houses on Airbnb you can rent for like $200 a night.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Well, we just figured
Hazlitt. Out. Hazlitt has a house they rent.
Oh, really?
Right at the winery.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, what we did for Gettysburg, how we paid like $20 each and got this whole, like,
it's a fucking summer camp.
It's a summer camp for Boy Scouts. It's huge.
Yeah.
You let me know when you want to come up and
we'll
figure out what we're doing.
I'm into travel.
What do you got to plug?
The only thing I really got, Metal at the Mansion next Sunday. Us Ultraviolent and Phased at the Yuengling Mansion in Pottsville, Faith in Exile. Starts at 5 p.m. So I don't know if it's the last concert of the year, but it's getting cold out, so it should be interesting.
Yeah.
But that's what I got, Metal at the Mansion next Sunday.
Just support the rest of this network, IWP Network. Make sure you check the links below. Follow us on YouTube. We're at 455 subscribers. We're getting close to our goal. We're getting halfway close to our goal of 500 people. We need that 1,000. So if you guys don't mind, and head over to YouTube and give us a subscribe, hit that bell for the notifications, and just keep supporting, man. Let people know we exist. We truly, truly appreciate it. Grab a T-shirt, grab a sticker, anything from the merch store. We are looking to get new headphones to get rid of these uncomfortable ones. If you've been on the show, you realize sitting here for an hour, they do get a little tight. Thank you guys so much for the continued support. That'll do it for Banging Beers. Here's some Max Bolton for some Banging Beers.
Banging Beers, Banging Beers, time to bang some beers. Banging Beers, Banging Beers, time to bang some beers. If you got some beers to bring, you know we're always down to hang. One or two or three more, come see what we've got in store. A beer for you and a beer for me, one and one, and that makes three. So if you think you're down to hang, come and join the banging gang. Banging beers, time to bang some beers. Banging beers, time to bang some beers.